The following program brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities. The opinions expressed by the members of CFCI and their guests should not be construed as specific investment, legal, or tax advice. All economic and performance information is historical and not indicative of future results. Investing may involve the risk of loss of principal, and any tax advice on the show is not intended to be used by any persons for the purpose of avoiding U.S. federal or state tax. Penalties that may be imposed on such persons and each listener should seek advice from their tax advisor or legal counsel on topics that arise from the show. The representatives of CFCI and their guests are not providing legal or tax advice, and nothing should be construed as a solicitation to offer or buy securities. Now enjoy the show.
Hello, everyone. This is Wayne Thacker filling in for David Hayes today. Your Money with David Hayes. And in studio, I'm with Doug Hughes today. And it's a little bit of a different topic. The title of today's show is Living to Age 100 and Enjoying the Life You've Saved For.
Wow.
And we're going to talk about health and wealth today, Doug. But first, we do have a surprise guest calling in from the magical city of Orlando. David wanted to at least get a segment in here. So, David, how you doing down there in Orlando?
We're doing fantastic. We actually came down on Sunday, and we've been wrestling at the Disney Duels here at the ESPN Worldwide of Sports. And we're in the first division, the South Wrestling Squad. There's some Edgewood kids on the team as well, some North kids. It's fun. Kids from Eastern Green as well. So it's been a lot of fun, but man, a lot of wrestling, and it's tough. So, oh, poor William, he's getting ready to go in his last match here in just a little bit, and we'll have wrapped up a full week of wrestling. And he's, I don't know how to put it, boys, he's just gotten his rear end handed to him while he's down here. He's 2-7 headed into the final match, and I can tell you there's a lot of other kids that have had a hard time too, but it's been a lot of fun.
Well, David, leading up to it, I know Will was working hard to make weight, and we talked about that last week on the show and so forth. How did all that go?
It worked out okay. He weighed in just 0.8 of a pound under where he needed to be, so he was good to go. And yeah, so he ate. We took him all to Golden Corral right after the weigh-in because we wanted to eat all. And it was so funny because we were missing seven wrestlers, and the coach said, hey, David, can you go see if you can find him? Well, I knew where to go. I needed to go to the bathroom to check on him. And there were six kids in there, four of them waiting for stalls to go into the bathroom, and the other three or other two were actually over trash cans throwing up.
Oh, my.
They weren't quite ready to consume the kind of food that they consumed right after those weigh-ins. So
yeah.
It's funny. Kind of nasty, kind of gross, but it's part of it.
Other than the Golden Corral, have you guys had any other fun down in Orlando?
Well, we're getting ready to. Once we wrap up, we were checking into the yacht club, and we're going to enjoy 3 days down here with Will, and one of his buddies are going to stay back. So that's what we're looking forward to.
Well, good.
Hey, guys, I want to say one quick thing before I go. First of all, thank you so much for you guys coming up for the big CODA event last week. I appreciated that so much. And it was such a great night. And thank you to just everyone that came. And then the second thing, I wanted to have a big shout-out to my good buddy right there on the radio, Doug Hughes, everyone.
Hey.
He's been with Comprehensive Financial Consultants for 15 years.
Wow.
The big fundamental.
The big fundamental. That's right.
Big fundamental.
He's been consistent. He's been loyal. And he's turned out to be a fantastic financial advisor. So, Doug, I appreciate you. You don't know how much.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, and it's been a wonderful 15 years. I guess if you look back and think on it, we've been through four presidential elections, the largest down recession in 100 years, and a lot of ups, and it's been a really wonderful time, hasn't it?
Yeah, we've had some battle wounds, but that's what you want. You know, you want someone that's had a few battle wounds because they understand what it takes to get through those things. And but you're right. With all that said, it's been a wonderful ride, and hopefully many, many, many more years.
Many, many, many more
that we have in front of you.
Mr. Reliable, Doug Hughes, Mr. Reliable. Day in and day out,
wow.
David. It's the same consistent thing from Doug, and we are happy to have him. Doug has been a mentor to me since I've been in at the office, and I really appreciate everything you've done for me, Doug, to help me better myself and my career.
Well, now
so
you guys are all sharpening me all the time. So, you know, as it turns out, iron sharpens iron, and we all get better.
That's great. Absolutely. David, I know go ahead.
I do have to go, but I'll say this, but Comprehensive Financial will be 25 years old next year. So, Doug, wow. You've been with us 15 of those 25 years, so that says something.
David,
all right, guys, I've got to go. You've got a great show ahead of you. I know that. Living to 100, I want to listen to that one. I want to just know how to live to 100, and then we'll figure out the money part of that.
We'll get that covered.
Yeah, I just want to apologize for today's show before we get started. So thank you, David.
All right, guys, have a great one.
It's going to be great. Take care, David. Have a good time.
All right, thanks. Bye.
We need to take a break. When we come back, we've got a really good program. We're going to jump right into the meat and potatoes of this. And really, over the last couple of years, Wayne has really been studying and thinking about the relationship between health and wealth or health and wellness. And so we're going to get right into this and talk about longevity. We're going to talk about, obviously, financial planning, but a lot of good things I'm going to pick Wayne's brain about. So this is Your Money with David Hayes. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Your Money with David Hayes. Doug Hughes live in studio, and I'm going to be talking to Wayne Thacker today about the five pillars of wellness and also how that relates to financial planning. What are those five pillars? Well, they're mental, physical, social, financial, and nutritional. Before we talk to Wayne, I want to just I want to tell our listeners that one of the observations I've had, I've been in the business just over 20 years now. If you heard earlier, I've been with Comprehensive Financial for 15 years. One of the things that I've observed over the last few years is that the clients that I work with, the people that I see, are living longer. And I have, in our office, we have a larger number of people in their 90s than we've ever had before. We have a larger number of people in their 80s than we've ever had before. And they're having to make financial decisions that people normally in their 60s or 70s would make. I will remember just a couple years back, there was a month where we had three different brand new people come in the door, and they had money in the bank, and interest rates were so low. These people were in their 90s, and they were shopping for better interest rates. And the reason I bring that up is because when we hear people talking about longevity and how long your money must last and what kind of financial planning you need to do, you really need to have a grasp on this idea that people in America are living longer. And with that longevity, you need to have a financial plan that allows you to be able to sustain income. We often use the phrase, what is the worst case scenario? But there are a lot of strategies that you can put together that can cause you to rethink that and say, I don't have a worst case scenario possibility. I have a minimum case scenario. And that is really what we're trying to do when we talk about longevity planning. So when we deal with these things, I'm going to bring Wayne in now. Wayne, people tend to think about health in a few different ways. The one thing that we're constantly hearing about is our weight. And so people immediately think that weight is the most important thing. But the reality is there are a lot of different aspects to health that we need to be paying attention to. Now, I know there's a lot we could talk about in the program today, and there's a lot of details we could hit. And we're just going to kind of hit some of the highlights. But in your research and your study and you're talking to people, what we're seeing with longevity issues, where's the beginning? Where do we start at?
Yeah, number one. So, Doug, the number one killer of all people over mm-hmm. the last 100 years is heart attacks and heart disease. So we have to begin right there with the heart. And mm-hmm. some of the diseases that actually kill people off before they reach that 100 or whatever age that is for them is heart-related diseases. So the heart, as we had the pleasure of sitting in with Dr. Mark Moyad, mm-hmm. who wrote the supplement handbook a few times now over the past year and a half. And Dr. Moyad has a saying, heart healthy equals everything healthy. So we really need to focus on the heart. And yes, weight is part of that. Physical exercise is part of that. And we can certainly, we're going to hit on some of the highlights. And like you said, we're not going to be able to cover everything today, but mm-hmm. keeping the heart healthy physically, that's really the most important thing that we can do for ourselves to get to that magic age of 100 and potentially beyond. There are a lot of people out there now claiming they're going to live to be 140, 180. Mm-hmm. The bulletproof man claims that he's going to live to 180.
Really?
And he puts butter in his coffee and eats a high fat diet, and we're gonna dive into all of those things.
Absolutely.
Today.
Well, you know, and we talk about the nutritional side of things. Let's open that up now. We'll kind of end on the financial side of things, but what are we seeing in the things of nutrition? You know, I've seen a lot of people spend a lot of money on diets or buying prepackaged food from particular areas and, or groups and having it mailed to your house every day. I mean, there's a lot of different ways to approach nutrition. One way is to do it through just what you should and shouldn't eat, but the other way is it financially sustainable to do that? And where do you see, where do people begin with nutrition?
Well, just nutrition in general. So when you get into a conversation with somebody about nutrition, overall, they're trying to figure out what's the best way for them to eat so they can lose weight. Mm-hmm. And no matter how you shake it, Doug, you can look at every diet book, every program out there. And basically what each of those programs is doing is they're trying to figure out how they can get you to trick yourself into eating less calories. So far, this is the best scientific data we have. This is proven stuff here. To lose weight, you have to burn more calories than you take in. And you just physically can't, most people cannot burn enough calories alone to lose weight by exercise. Mm-hmm. If we could, then I would have weighed in at 106 pounds this morning, but I did not. Gotcha. You know, I exercise all the time. You just can't burn enough calories to lose weight. So you have to then go to your diet. That is the best way to cut your BMI and cut down that mm-hmm. excess weight. Whether you're eating low carb, low fat, you know, there are three main ingredients in food or three nutrients that you need to be thinking about: protein, carbohydrates, and fat. Those are the three things that your body needs to sustain itself. Your body can actually produce its own carbohydrate source. Carbohydrates are kind of the energy of the body. If you do not eat carbohydrates, your body can actually use your stored fat to produce that same energy. So you don't actually have to consume carbohydrates. What everyone needs is we all have to have some protein. And whether you're a meat eater, a vegetarian has to go at it a little differently. They have to take in some kind of protein supplement or mix a couple of vegetarian mm-hmm. items such as rice and beans, make a complete protein. And then fat, you know, fat is very popular. You're hearing a lot about the ketogenic diet, keto, all of that stuff. The keto diet is basically you're eating more fat, a little less protein, and very minimal carbohydrates. So you're cutting out stuff. But like I said before, all of this, Doug, is simply tricking yourself. What can you do specifically to eat less calories?
And Wayne, let's bring this to the financial side of nutrition, because oftentimes you'll meet couples, two people living together, and they're trying to maybe lose weight together and have a nutrition plan together. But one will say this is the way I want to do it, and the other will say that's. And next thing you know, you have two different grocery lists. And one is, and having two separate grocery lists can sometimes be more expensive than one. What do you say to people out there when it comes to finances? Because, you know, one of the areas, and I know David's not here, and we're talking about things that that aren't normally talked about on the radio show. But I'm reminded of Ben Franklin when he said, "It's the small leaks that sink big ships." One of the most overlooked areas that we spend money on is food. It used to be people would say, "Can you believe we're spending $4 or $5 on a cup of coffee?" I never did believe that until I got the blonde latte with almond milk at Starbucks with a Splenda and a half, and now I can't stop, and now it's easy to spend $4. Wayne, give us a little idea. I know you can't answer the whole question, but how do people navigate the cost of nutrition?
You know, it's the same thing as raising kids, spending money. At some point, you've got to get on the same page, right? Mm-hmm. This just goes with everything that a couple or a partner situation is going to deal with. You're going to deal with these things, and eating is one of them. I mean, we eat very differently in my house. Heather is a vegetarian, and mm-hmm. and I tend not to migrate toward the veggies. So, you know, we navigate it. We eat a lot of beans and rice, and, you know, those are things that everybody likes. Mm-hmm. So we get on the same page as much as possible.
And you recommend that for people who are trying to, again, on the one hand, we are always talking to people about getting your budget, but your food line item can be pretty expensive. All you have to do is look back through the check register and see how much you spent at the grocery store and how much you spent at going out to eat. And also the quick list, those kind of things really do help out on your food, don't they?
Cooking at home, number one, financially, is one of the most beneficial things that you can do for the food budget. Also, you know, there are some food shares programs. Mm-hmm. So if you do eat meat and vegetables, food share programs are great. Farmers market's fantastic. When people buy that food, they tend not to eat out as much.
Sure.
They've got this great food that's, you know, grown right here in Bloomington or locally, and they'll cook it and they'll eat it at home. Those are great things. The Kroger click list. Don't walk into the grocery store and be fooled by all the box items. Order your food. Order it at night when you're not hungry, and just go pick it up the next day. Don't even get out of your car.
So really, Wayne, what you're saying is we've got to focus in on this, realize that heart healthy means everything healthy. Nutrition is a big part of that, and there's also a financial side of nutrition that is getting on the same page and thinking about it. And, you know, we used to laugh and joke about, you know, coupons, but coupons are still out there for people who do coupon shopping and things like that. So there is a real value to this, and I'm really excited we're talking about these things. We're talking today about living to age 100, and part of the formula living to age 100 is going to be nutrition.
Absolutely.
And parting and being
food,
able to
food
navigate
is the
that
medicine,
financially.
Doug. So financially speaking, the food becomes your medicine. The better you eat, the studies show, the less you'll have to go to the doctor because you won't be as sick, because the food that we eat is making us sick.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, folks, our listeners, you probably never thought you'd have a segment on nutrition on Your Money with David Hayes. But hey, David's in Universal Wrestling, and so here we are taking over the wheel, and we're going to talk about nutrition. When we come back, we're going to dig a little bit deeper into some of the wellness issues. We're going to talk about mental wellness when we come back. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back to Your Money with David Hayes. Our subject matter today is living to age 100 and enjoying the life you've saved for. Not the life you've dreamed of, Wayne, but the life that you have saved for. Doug Hughes here in studio. Our guest today is Mr. Wayne Thacker, no stranger to the big show. He's been coming in and doing this quite some time now. Wayne, we've been talking about the five pillars of wellness. We just got through talking about nutrition. Let's move on to mental and social. Let's start with mental wellness. You know, it is interesting when we talk about people's mental well-being. Some of the financial things that happen because you're sad or you're depressed or you're overconfident and you're filled with joy. And, you know, we swerve, the pendulum swings pretty wide. And sometimes we spend to try to satisfy sadness or depression or loneliness. And on the pendulum swings the other way. Sometimes we feel like there's no end in sight and there's always going to be a better tomorrow, so we don't have any real control of spending. But let's talk about longevity with mental health. What is the reality about people who struggle with getting their mental swings kind of back in check?
Well, you know, this goes back. I remember something my grandma told me years ago, because grandma was working at General Electric, and every time I would see her, "Grandma, what do you think about retiring? When's retiring?" Mm-hmm. And she told me one time that she feared retirement because she didn't just want to sit on the porch swing and whittle away to nothing, right? Mm-hmm. She needed something to do, and she realized that before she retired. So as people come into the office, we talk to them about that.
Mm-hmm.
What are your plans? What do you plan on doing the second you pull that work trigger and call it quits? Do you have things lined up? A lot of things come to mind when I think of some of our most successful clients and how they maintain their mental well-being. You know, a lot of people will really dive right into grandkids and great-grandkids. I just had some great clients, John and Arlene. They ended up moving to Arizona. They've been in Bloomington almost their entire lives. And they ended up moving to Arizona so they could be closer to their daughter and their son and grandkids. And so, you know, these are things that we see people do. We see people joining clubs that they never had time for. Mm-hmm. We see people volunteering with organizations or maybe former work environments that they just didn't have time for while they were working.
And, you know, Wayne, one of the things that we see too, I think, is people who keep their minds curious oftentimes have a much broader perspective. And so some of the things, and we know that these are nothing new, but it's just something to remind you of. Reading, for example. Reading can be so much fun and add so much to your life, but it kind of keeps your brain in a more positive scenario, because you're constantly filling your mind with something versus it just being thrown at you. I was watching one of the political channels the other day, and there were like, you know, four faces, one in each corner, and they were all yelling at each other and over each other, and it was just it was just mentally exhausting to try to watch that. Where we always say to people, you always, in our age, in our 40s, we need to take the time to step back and do that. But the same thing is true. If you want to have a good mind over long periods of time, you need to do things like read. You need to do puzzles, for example. You need to go to, and our good friends at the Ivy Tech Center for Lifelong Learning, there's a number of wonderful classes there. And you know what? It's not a pass or fail grade. You can go and learn what you can get out of it and step back. So staying mentally sharp and staying mentally engaged by reading and doing these things that we're talking about is very important. But then, Wayne, let's move into the social realm, because oftentimes your mental state can be impacted by your social state.
Well, let me just add something real quick to the mental wellness, because I love reading. It's probably my single favorite thing to do, but not everyone does like to read.
Right.
There are new technologies right now that are out that I would challenge you non-readers to dive into. Really like podcasts. I mean, you pick a subject that you're interested in, and there are probably no less than 10 podcasts on that subject. Listen to short stories. Listen to the History of the World podcast. There are also audiobooks. I mean, these things are so inexpensive and readily available to you. Right now, we just got our new Roku, Doug. We finally cut the cable officially, and we've got a Roku box. And one of the channels on the Roku, for all you Roku people out there, it's TED Talks. So now we can just fire up at night. TV is kind of going to the wayside for us. But now we've got TED Talks. We've got Fast Company. You know, all the things that we want to watch specifically that are educational, now we can flip that on as a family at night and watch a 15-minute TED Talk or YouTube video on something educational for our families. But
absolutely. Well, let's talk about social interaction. I mean, you know, there is something wonderful about going into a place where you can identify. And well, there was a show one time called Cheers, and it was really about going into a place where everybody knows your name. There is a bit of wellness to belonging somewhere where people know your name, find value in you, and you have an opinion, you have a voice, you matter.
And it makes you feel so good, too, when you walk in somewhere and people know you. No, this was one of Stephen Covey's pillars to his philosophies, that social connection. Just naturally, Doug, people are part of a tribe. Mm-hmm. Now, whether your tribe's one person or 10 people or 50 people, we all are social beings. That's how we are.
Mm-hmm.
And so keeping those social connections with former workers, with family. I mean, family's your biggest tribe, number one tribe. And so keeping those interactions strong, seeing people once a week, once every other week, or more often preferably, the studies show that people that associate with other people more often are happier over time and tend to live longer. Doug, we've seen the studies. A man by himself and a woman by himself are statistically shown to pass away before both sets of a married couple.
Right.
That tribe is the reasoning that people live longer. They have somebody to associate with, somebody to do things with.
Absolutely.
And the conversations keep, like you said, iron sharpens iron.
Absolutely. And you know, Wayne, we've had so many clients that we know down through the years, when the time to retirement came, they would go on a trip or a cruise and they'd meet people. Or if we've had a golf event and they golf with a couple they'd never met before, the next thing you know, they have a new set of friends. That new set of friends has the same hobbies or the same goals, or they've been through the same scenarios with their kids or something like that, and a tribe begins to form. So, you know, you're always looking for bonds and connections out there, and I think one of the things that we sometimes underestimate is the value of connections in life and in retirement, because the better connected we are, the longer and the healthier our minds are going to be, very curious and involved, and it's necessary to be involved in things. The days of retirement and just sitting home and watching the Golden Girls, great show, but the days of sitting home and watching the Golden Girls for 8 hours a day are pretty much over. It really is time now to really expand your horizons and do that at a young age and go from there.
And Doug, there are ways to meet people. There are travel groups. If you're someone sitting out there and you don't have a tribe per se, you know, go on a vacation, sign up for one of the travel groups. You'll meet tons of people. Mm-hmm. Call an old worker that you used to work with. Start doing things now. If you are still working, start to develop that tribe, knowing that you're going to transition into retirement. It's not as easy. Doug, I walk in every day and you're right there, and we start talking the second that one of us walk through the door.
Yep.
It's great. But, you know, if one of us retired tomorrow, we wouldn't have that.
No.
We're just kind of home looking at our four walls. So,
yeah,
a lot of good stuff there.
Yeah, and when we come back, I want to touch on one more thing about mental wellness. This is Your Money with David Hayes.
Welcome back. It's Your Money with David Hayes, and I'm Wayne Thacker. Sitting in with me today is Doug Hughes. But first, a word from our sponsor, Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame. The Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame is supported by Comprehensive Financial Consultants. To learn more about the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame, go to mcshof.com. Doug, we just finished a segment on social well-being and mental well-being. You had another point that you wanted to make.
Well, I just wanted to say one thing about all this. One of the things I think that is very important, and we are learning about the value of this, is meditation. The opportunity, whether it's of the Christian faith or of no faith or of different types of meditation across all religions, this isn't a religious discussion, but the opportunity to clear your mind and focus and allow yourself to be in a peaceful state is valuable. And it's probably more valuable than people really begin to realize. In every one of the religious books, there is an admonition to meditate and to take some time and reflect on good, positive, optimistic things, clear your mind of negative thoughts, of fears, of anxieties. And one of the things I think that is important for people to do if they want to live to 100 and they want to enjoy the life they've saved for is they really need to get a hold of that part of your mental wellness, and that is remain optimistic and learn how to meditate and sweep out those negative thoughts.
You're absolutely right, Doug. I mean, we could do entire shows on lowering anxiety. We can do entire shows on meditating. So you hit the nail on the head right there. I'm glad you brought that up because we were going to skip right over it. But
yeah, well, it's a big part of mental health. Now, let's go back to physical health, Wayne. We're going to talk about that. It's so important that... And we've listened, you know, we have heard this back and forth, the sedentary behavior versus physical activity. Tell us what the difference between those two things are. We all kind of know generally, but, you know, it's like we all have this optimism bias. I don't live a sedentary life. Wayne does. And Wayne might be sitting there saying, I don't live a sedentary life. Doug does. We all struggle with this. It's somebody else. It's not me. Define what a sedentary life is and what are the risks there?
Man, I'm going to say some things that maybe people won't like, Doug. But first of all, some movement is better than no movement, right?
Okay.
So doing something is almost always better than nothing, as long as you're not doing it in a risky way where you're going to injure yourself and maybe cause a longer term sedentary behavior, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to say this. This is just biology. Over time, as we get older, our bodies naturally decrease muscle. Muscle just evaporates, kind of like those down days in the stock market, Doug.
Mm-hmm.
The muscle just goes away. Now, our hearts run based on the muscle that we have in our body. So I want to tell people out there, while you're walking at a moderate pace on a treadmill, you are doing yourself good. But the most good that an aging person can do is you have to engage in some sort of strength training. You have to at least stop the process of your muscles leaving your body. This is why as we get older, we start to put on more pounds. We put on more pounds because we've lost muscle. We've lost muscle. Our metabolism goes down. Our metabolism's based on our muscle. Now we're heavier. We've got less muscle. We get weaker. This is why you see people as they enter you know, an older age. Let's get into our 70s and 80s and 90s. Now we start to creak over. Gravity mm-hmm. starts to be able to pull on us. We start to develop the hunchback. And eventually we can't walk anymore without a cane, without some sort of assistance. I'm not saying everybody. We all have seen the pictures of maybe the lady that smoked, you know, a pack of cigarettes a day, and now she's 105. But I'm telling you guys, these are exceptions to the rule. These are not the rule. Yeah. And you're always going to find exceptions. And unfortunately, I hate to say this, but most of what we have to give in our lives and how old we're going to be is based on genetics. Mm-hmm. So we need to either thank our parents or we need to call them and have a little chat with, have a little sit down with them. So,
you know, Wayne, as I'm sitting here, literally sitting here doing this program, makes me think maybe I should stand up. Recently, we've been hearing phrases like sitting is the new smoking, or Tim Cook from Apple just came out last week and said sitting is the new cancer, the new cause of cancer, or it's maybe not a new one, but we're learning now. Yeah. What should people do around the desk?
Yeah,
well, at work.
So everyone has either experienced this or know someone that has experienced this. Muscle is literally use it or lose it, because mm-hmm. it happens naturally. We all know someone that's been in a cast. And what happens when they take that cast off after 6 months, 6 weeks? Atrophy has sat in. They've been unable to use those muscles that have been casted up, and therefore the muscle just deteriorates and evaporates. Mm-hmm. So highly encourage everyone at every age over the age of about 10 or 13 to engage in some sort of strength training. Mm-hmm. You have to train safely. You can injure yourself doing certain strength trainings. I don't recommend all of the types of weightlifting and strength training out there. Highly recommend resistance training. But staying active, you're right. Sitting is the new smoking, because you're sitting there, and if you sit there over and over day after day, you're not using those muscles, and they, like I said, they atrophy basically. Mm-hmm. You just start to lose that muscle. So get up, walk around, use your muscle, get your heart, again, heart healthy equals everything healthy. Mm-hmm. So whatever you can do to use muscle, that will get your heart pumping and that will keep your heart strong.
Wayne, we've always heard of the 80-20 rule. A lot of people don't know that it came from an Italian gardener, but tell us, what is the 80-20 rule when it deals with our physical health?
Pareto's principle. So everybody's going to look at this a certain way. So what I say is shoot for 100%, and hopefully you'll end up at about 80%. And what that means is basically 20% of the activities you do will give you 80% of the results, right? Mm-hmm. Or do good 80% of the time, right? And so oftentimes, though, people shoot for 80 and they end up about 50 or 60, Doug. Mm-hmm. So, you know, shoot for 100. If you end up at 80, don't beat yourself up. And this includes exercise, nutrition, your mental health, your social. You know, maybe you meant to call a friend and go have lunch this week, but you just didn't. So you missed it this week. Don't beat yourself up about it. Let's get maybe two lunches in next week and get back up to what we were trying to do effectively.
Wayne, you know, there's so many opportunities out there. People can join the YMCA. They can join. There's all kinds of gyms. There's a place called Quick Fit here in town that does strength training once a week for 20 minutes. So there's all kinds of things that people can use in their schedules and things
safe.
Like that.
That's safe.
It's safe one, yeah. The main thing is just to get started, right? I mean, the main thing is just to get started. And how long should people give a chance for their physical wellness to begin to see a difference, right? I mean, it's easy to say I'm going to start something. That's why boot camps start every January 1, and they last till about February, right? What should people do?
What people should do is they should find a place where they can actually measure the results, the actual results. So all too often people are after, give me that extreme fat loss. But I'm going to tell you, these extreme fat loss programs, Doug, you're under eating and over exercising, and the combo of those will also take the muscle right out of your body as well. Mm-hmm. So often your body needs fuel. There's a reason why they say the recommended calorie intake for a day is around, let's just say it's around 2,000. If you're eating 900 calories a day, day after day, and you're over exercising your body, some of your body's actually eating some muscle in there, mm-hmm. and I can prove it. So, you know, you got to be careful with what programs. It's slow and steady wins this race every time.
Every time.
So you gotta find a place that's going to be safe. Find a place that's going to do some strength training, some resistance training in a safe manner. You know, if you have the finances to afford a trainer, you definitely want to go that route. I highly recommend that. It's one-on-one. It's personalized. Those are all just strong recommendations to at least stop the process of aging so that we can live to be 100.
Wayne, you know what? We've talked about nutrition. We've talked about mental health, social health. We've talked about physical health. We know we haven't been able to get deep into the weeds, but we just want this program to help people start out, just to begin to take an evaluation of where they're at and just start out in some of these five pillars. When we come back, Wayne, we're going to talk about the fifth pillar, which is going to be financial. And we got a lot of neat, interesting things to talk about, as we do every week on this show, Your Money with David Hayes. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. It's Your Money with David Hayes, and I'm Wayne Thacker, sitting here with Doug Hughes today, and we're going to talk about financial wellness, Doug. We have a few minutes left today, so financial wellness, what does that mean to you, Doug, and how does it fit into the other pillars?
Sure. Well, I think that in my estimation, and being in the position I've been for the last 20-plus years, and just my own personal perspective of things, what does financial wellness mean? It means that you're in a place where you have control of your finances. I'm not saying you're perfect, but you can look at your overall finances and you don't have anxiety, you don't have stress, you don't wonder what's going to happen next. You have more confidence about your short, mid, and long-term goals than you do anxiety about your short, mid, and long-term goals. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people in America, Wayne, who have anxiety about their kids going to college. There's a lot of people who have anxiety about the enormous nest egg they have to save to retire on. And so I think that when you can put a financial plan together and you can provide confidence to yourself, when you can have a relief from that anxiety, then you begin to have wellness. And it's not just as simple as saying, you know, hey, I hope I have $10 million or I hope I win the lottery. I mean, all those things are nice, but just like you talked about the lady who's smoked for 100 years and she's still okay, the people that win the lottery, they're just like that. You may read an article, but you hardly, if ever, meet them. And so I think that having a really good grasp and a good control of your finances brings a lot of wellness. We know that money is one of the top reasons that people get divorced. We know that money is one of the reasons that parent and child relationships are strained. And we know that money can cause a real feeling of self-worth. You know, I'm not as worth as much as the next person because I'm not making as much. And so getting control of your money and having a good focus and a good steady goal plan ahead of you, and having control of your money, it provides an awful lot of freedom in the mind and wellness in the body.
I think about this as I think about our clients, our wonderful clients that walk through the door. You know, having enough income to fund your desired retirement. And Doug, we're talking about living to age 100.
Yeah.
We have a lot of clients that have retired in their 60s, but we have some that have retired in their 50s.
Sure. Yeah, and we go back to what I mentioned earlier, you know, what is the minimum case scenario? I mean, there are ways to design your life around a minimum case scenario financially. You may run out of assets, but you won't run out of income,
this
and
is
there
that
are
whole
ways
net,
to do that.
Yeah, net worth versus it's net
income.
Income.
Exactly right.
Right. You've talked about for 15 years now,
exactly
I might say.
Right. Yeah.
And so what are just a couple of things, we just have a few minutes, what are just a few things that people can do to soften that stress, lower that anxiety? Mm-hmm. What are some affairs they can maybe get in order to help?
Sure. So a couple things come to mind quickly. One is, as much as people don't want to do it, face your debts with your eyes wide open. In other words, make a list of your debts and be honest about them, and then begin working from there. If you really don't want to have a mortgage going into retirement, then maybe the 5 to 10 years before you retire, you work a part-time job and get everything taken care of. Most people should have 3 to 6 months worth of income set aside so they can draw upon if they lose their job. But what about the money you need there for when the roof needs replaced and the refrigerator needs replaced? All of these things set aside give you a bit of confidence.
Absolutely. One thing I see, I've never seen anyone actually hold a piano on their back,
mm-hmm.
but every time we have a client that does their estate plan,
yep,
their will, their, you know, their trust, it's almost like you can see the piano fall off their back, that weight's lifted.
That's right. Yeah.
Those are wonderful things to relieve the stress, because daily we may, you know, this thought might enter our minds every week or month, but it's there. It's, yes, hiding, even if it's not right on the front of your mind.
Yes. What happens if your main breadwinner is gone tomorrow?
Yeah.
You know, this isn't a question that someone who's just trying to sell you something asks. This is someone who's trying to look at a very well put together overall financial portfolio. What happens, Wayne? You studied a lot in Social Security, know a lot about Social Security. What happens when there's two Social Security checks coming into the home and one of those people dies?
One of those checks is leaving.
So it's not a salesperson who's trying to say, have you considered the fact that one of your Social Security checks is going to go away? How do you want to address that? And I think that the more people understand these things, the more relief they have from some of the fears of the unknown.
No, you're absolutely right, Doug. I mean, there's so, again, we can do an entire show, mm-hmm, on financial wellness and getting your financial wellness in check. And like we said at the beginning, this all ties together. When you're better off financially, you seem to be healthier, you seem to be happier, maybe more social, maybe more engaged, mm-hmm, in proper nutrition planning, maybe more engaged in physical activity. It really does all go together, doesn't it, Doug?
Absolutely. And here's the thing, Wayne. I'm trying to think of exactly how to word this. Being wealthy doesn't, or having a lot of money doesn't just take away fears. Having a plan that works for you and you have control of your finances takes away fears. There's numbers of people who have a lot of money who are very fearful.
Right.
There's other people who don't have nearly as much money, but because they got their lifestyle in check with what they have and their cash flow is fine, they don't have a lot of fear. And that is an amazing, amazing position to be in. And that is where we see the happiest people honestly end up. It's not necessarily people with the most. I'm not trying to sound all cliche, but it's the people who have good plans put together that work well with their lives and what they're trying to accomplish.
We are begging employers of our community, if you do not have a financial health plan set up, financial education, give us a call at our office. Check us out online at cfci.us. Mm-hmm. And we have a few years ago, we really started to make this a priority of ours to go in and get the financial health taken care of for some of the major companies here in Bloomington. So
absolutely,
look us up if you don't have anything. Doug?
Yeah. We need to take a quick break, but when we come back, I understand that you have quite a wrap-up for this program. So this is Your Money with David Hayes. Everyone stick around for this exciting wrap-up.
Welcome back. It's Your Money with David Hayes, and I'm Wayne Thacker in studio with Doug Hughes. And this isn't going to be that exciting of a wrap-up, Doug. I'm going to talk about next week's show. We've got Mary Beth Franklin, contributor of Investment News, as our guest, understanding the recent changes in Medicare and clearing up the confusion on Social Security. So Mary Beth is a frequent contributor of the show, and we're happy to have her on next week. Also, I apologize to David. I sent him a text earlier, and I said, I'm sorry that I'm doing the show on Thursday. And he asked why, and I said, I think after we do a show like this, people may be contacting us and calling for his resignation. And Doug, I think people are just going to want you and I on the show. So we got to be careful what we do wish for. But really, though, if you enjoyed this type of show, this is something new for us. If you would like to hear more of this, maybe a segment a month or a few segments each week or whatever, send us an email at cfci.us. Just log on to our website and you can send us a message that way. And we can do more health and wellness topics. I think these are...
Or hobby and wellness.
Yeah, we'll dive into a bunch of topics. So if you are interested, reach out to us. Let us know your thoughts. And we hope you enjoyed the show. It was something different. We thought we'd give it a shot. So thanks, everyone, for joining us. Have a great rest of your weekend. And David will be back in the house next week with Mary Beth Franklin. Thank you.
The preceding program was brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities.